Hello and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Many people do not know their Old Testament. As you know, the Bible is divided into two parts, Old and New Testament. Many of them do not know the Old Bible, as some call it, simply because they don't read it. And for those who do read it, sometimes they read without the understanding. For someone to have an understanding is different from them to just hear it, as explained in Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 8. So there are different places that we can go to in the Bible that you need to understand more than just saying, well, I saw that prophecy in Isaiah, or the statement about the coming of the church or the covenant of God in Jeremiah. All of these things are good and fine, but just because somebody is a minor prophet, so to speak, doesn't mean he said minor things. It just simply means he didn't say as much. The book of Amos is an example of that. This afternoon, let's look into the book of Amos for just a few minutes, because wouldn't it be something if you got to heaven and you ran into the spirit of Amos and you couldn't even remember who he was, what he wrote about, what God had laid on his heart upon this earth, and the significance that he had for the great developments of God's plan for mankind. The book of Amos, very powerful book, one of my most favorite books of all the books in the Old Testament, and it just has a few short chapters, but at the same time, they are indeed expressive of God's earnest desire for his people that they repent. Nevertheless, many of the people in Amos's day, especially in the northern kingdom, had already given themselves over to the idol worship of their own day, and they were not going to repent. What does that have to do with us today? The prophet was a herdman of Tekoa, and he was coming to speak to different nations, and he finally settles on Israel and tells them, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. So he describes what God's going to do to them, and their ultimate punishment is going to be from the Lord. And it's similar to what you might find in America today. You see, the people had economic prosperity during the reign of the second Jeroboam and in the time of Uzziah, king of Judah, but they were spiritually lacking. They had forgotten their roots of the worship of the true Jehovah God, meant just as many people in America today. They look around us and they say, hey, we have economic stability, we are coming back. Yet, at the same time, they do not have any improvement in their spiritual lives. They don't give glory unto Jesus Christ. You look at how the nation of Israel was developing, and God says, I will not turn away its punishment, and you ask yourself, are we any different in America? Just because they didn't want to hear the message of Amos does not make it an important message or a good one. Of course, many sermons that you hear are not pleasant sermons for you to receive, and yet they are needful for you to receive them. So, in the book of Amos, we likewise find that each nation that is addressed by God here, where he says, look, it's finally time, I'm going to give you your punishment, no matter what nation it is that is mentioned. For example, he starts out in chapter 2, and he had already talked about Edom, for example, earlier in chapter 1, and also Gaza, or the Philistines, there in verse 6 of chapter 1. And also, even before that, he talked about the Syrians over in Damascus. But in chapter 2, he says, for three transgressions of Moab and for four, so he's getting right up around the people who lived alongside the Israelites. I will not turn away the punishment of that. You go down a little bit further, and he even gets up beside the children of Israel by talking about Judah itself. For three transgressions of Judah and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. That's Amos chapter 2 and verse 4. And finally, he settles in on the Israelites. And the children of Israel had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and he's not going to forget that. So it doesn't matter that they were looking around them and saying, hey, the borders seem secure. We have some economic prosperity here. Everything looks like it's going to be all right. God says, no, 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 no. For three transgressions of Israel, and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. That's a phrase that simply means you've done enough bad stuff, and now you're going to have to pay for it. When you look in the direction that America is going, there is no way that God just overlooks and says, just forget it that you have forgotten Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm not going to pay any attention to it. God didn't forget it back in the days of Amos. He told them very clearly that he would not put up with it. And he says, I've given you all these different warnings, just as he has done unto America. What with the terrorist attacks and all of that? Back then in Amos chapter 4, he said, I sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, taken away your horses. I have made the stink of your camps to come up under your nostrils, yet you have not returned unto me, saith the Lord. That's Amos chapter 4, verse 10. Everybody should listen to the call of God and see that he is getting us to come to repentance. It amazes me that as a nation, people cannot see the warning signs of the Lord that they need to come to repentance. And then when they do repent, the repentance lasts such a short amount of time. That's why these Old Testament books are so valuable. Amos was saying, you have forgotten your ways and the ways of God. And you look at other books like, say, the book of Jonah, and they repent at the preaching of Jonah, but how long does it last? Later on, you read like in Nahum, and it's not lasting anymore. And the people are going to be punished there, those Ninevites. Well, right here you have the Israelites in Amos, and they're going to be punished. America, folks, will not escape its punishment, just like those Israelites did not escape their punishment. If you do not repent of doing evil before God, you're letting your children grow up to be soft and turn into homosexuals. You're allowing them to be indolent instead of being industrious. You're allowing somebody else to raise them so that when they do come up and they seem to be successful, what they have done is forgotten the Lord God and believe in evolution instead of the Creator. All of this is a shame unto our parents. It is a shame unto our children that they no longer have the fortitude to defend our nation or its patriotic duties themselves. Instead, they will trample both our flag and the Bible upon which this nation was founded. It is a shame, ladies and gentlemen, that you have a society that turns a blind eye upon those who would riot and form lawlessness in the streets, and yet at the same time believe that every little issue that comes up is some reason for us to take offense, but they do not take offense at the evil that put Jesus Christ on the cross, nor are they interested in looking into these Bible books and understanding their message. It is for these reasons that God will punish the people. Therefore, God says in the days of Amos, for three transgressions of Israel and for four, I will not turn away the punishment thereof. You go a little bit further in Amos, and you find that he tries to get the people to see that justice, righteousness, is what God is all about. And if you would do that, have justice in the nation, then you would actually have God lift you up. But if you do not, then the Lord will not listen to your prayers, and he won't have anything to do with what you try to serve him with. Somebody was remarking to me recently over at church, when do you ever see a rich man get the death penalty? You know, you don't. They buy a fancy enough lawyer, and it's just like they get out of it every single time, or have a commuted sentence or a lesser sentence or something like that. When you see people not worshiping God like he's supposed to be worshiped, when you see them not administering justice like God wants to see administered, then God says, I'm not going to receive your worship anymore. Notice what he says in Amos chapter 5 and verse 21. I despise your feast days. I will not smell, that is, take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Now, back then, they had the animal sacrifices. You know that. Back in the Old Testament days. Now, what do we have? We have the prayers of the saints. We have the worship through Jesus Christ of the Creator in the way he wants, the partaking of the Lord's Supper for those that will do it, and those religious groups that know that they're supposed to. We also have other acts of worship, the singing of praise unto God. It's these things that God would not accept from us and cause us to be preserved in his eyes. God is saying, I will reject these things. So what does he say? Take thou away from me the noise of your songs. I will not hear the melody of your viols, which was back then an instrument that they would play on. But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. This is what God wants. He wanted it back in the days of Amos. He wants it today, folks. Let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. When people say, I desire justice, I want to be fair with my neighbor, when they're not looking out for themselves, but instead their desire is that their fellow man get ahead, this is the mark of God blessing you. But if somebody is all out for themselves, if they desire their 15 minutes of fame, if they lift up before the people those that are in the media or happen to make a neat-looking movie or whatever pursuit of entertainment it is that they have, and they lift that up as the ultimate ideal, then you've got a society that God says, I'm going to punish. What it's all about instead is who is going to serve me acceptably through Jesus Christ. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? Well, they might have served God in the past, but it's not going to do them any good in the future. Make sure, ladies and gentlemen, that when you serve the Lord, you do it out of a sincere heart, and that you get the lessons of the book of Amos, and make sure that you take them to heart, so that we are not punished like the old Israelites who were carried away into captivity. The book of Amos finishes in chapter 9 on a big positive note. I encourage you all to study on that and make sure that you devote yourself unto the Lord by having a bigger understanding of the book of Amos, and that way maybe the United States can avoid the same punishment that the Israelites had, and we can prosper according to the blessings that are described in Amos chapter 9 and not according to the punishments that are given in the first 8 chapters. Thank you very much for listening this afternoon.